Hello, this is Roz Friedman reading the Reader's Digest. The first article is from the section called How to Snack Your Way to Better Health. Nibbling between meals has gotten bad press in recent years. In fact, snacking can be good for you by Dawn Janek. To snack or not to snack, that is the question for doctors, for nutritionists, and for you as you try to decide what to do about your grumbling stomach when it's nowhere close to mealtime. The short answer, have the snack. Snacking has fallen out of favor in certain dieting circles, thanks in part to the popularity of intermittent fasting, in which you severely restrict your food intake on a periodic basis. Some folks interpret the paleo diet, in which the diet-conscious attempt to imitate the good habits of our hunter-gatherer ancestors, as anti-snacking as well. But many modern-day studies have found that snacking can have positive effects on your health, both physical and mental. Like what? Grab a banana or a handful of peanuts and read on. Weight loss. Can snacking help you drop a few pounds? Yes, but nutritionists' insight into what works has changed. They once thought that eating more frequently could boost your metabolism. Your body would be working more often to burn calories. Alas, studies have been mixed when it comes to proving that theory. But a smart snack can prevent the kind of unhealthy binge eating that comes from hardcore hunger. Your body is always talking to you. You just have to listen, says internal and functional medicine specialist Robert Graham, MD, MPH. So if you're starting to feel a little hungry, don't wait. He recommends a simple approach, a three-meal plan interspersed with two or three snacks. But you can't grab just any old snack. Chips, cookies, crackers, and other simple carbohydrates boost your blood sugar quickly, which ultimately leads to the sugar crash we've all experienced. Instead, try nuts, complex carbs, and fruits. Dr. Graham loves a fiber-rich apple, in part because it's the perfect snacking size. Nature has done a huge favor for us, he says. Pair it with protein-rich nut butter, and you'll feel fuller longer. Snacking is a way to sneak a variety of nutrients into your diet, Maya Feller, a registered dietitian nutritionist in New York, says you can't go wrong with a handful of mixed nuts. With polyunsaturated fats, fiber, protein, magnesium, and calcium, nuts can help your heart. The Journal of Nutrition reported that eating almonds regularly can improve good HDL cholesterol levels and remove cholesterol from the body. Snacking on protein-rich foods helps preserve your muscle mass and stamina. The body can absorb only a finite amount of protein per meal, says Lisa Reed, CEO of Lisa Reed Fitness, citing research in the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Distributing protein throughout the day via stacking can maximize protein intake. That's especially beneficial for people over 60. Their bodies don't use protein as efficiently as the bodies of younger people, she explains. When seniors don't get enough protein, they are more at risk for falls and fractures. Divvying up your calories and nutrients into smaller meals may also provide benefits for those worried about type 2 diabetes. A small 2017 study from Greece showed that eating six smaller meals each day not only improved blood sugar levels, but also decreased hunger in obese people with pre-diabetes or diabetes. And my patients trying to control sugar levels, says Feller, if they have a snack that's well-balanced, they're more likely to have level blood sugar readings as opposed to the highs and lows. Other studies show that blueberries may fight age-related memory decline and may even help ward off Alzheimer's, while yogurt and cheese can help protect bone health. Smart snacks with multiple health benefits include fresh vegetables with hummus, Greek yogurt with berries, hard-boiled eggs, and avocado. If you've ever snapped at someone when you were hungry, you know what food or lack thereof can influence your mood. But when you're hungry, it's not just because your blood sugar has dropped. A study in the journal Emotion revealed that hunger has the ability to make ambiguous or unpleasant things seem even worse. Snacking helps you avoid that precarious position, resulting in fewer mood swings and better focus. This can have a positive ripple effect on your day and your subsequent food choices. Some studies have shown that healthy snacking may also improve memory and cognitive performance and help alleviate mental health issues, such as anxiety and depression, says Ashwini Nadkarni, MD, an associate psychiatrist at Brigham and Women's Hospital and an instructor at Harvard Medical School. If you wait too long to eat between meals, your body thinks it's starving and releases the stress hormone cortisol to correct your glucose levels. Cortisol will cause the release of inflammatory substances like cytokines and leukotrienes, which can produce symptoms of depression and anxiety. Dr. Ned Carney explains, again, snacking helps you sidestep this trap. Fasting and meal skipping along with dehydration are also migraine triggers. As Dr. Graham explains, when the brain is starved of both sugar and water, it will talk in the form of a headache. His prescription, in addition to drinking water, snacking on fresh fruit with its natural sugars can help. A small study published in the Journal of Clinical Neuroscience also found that snacking at night rather than earlier in the day decreases the odds of having a headache the next day by 40%. Except in the case of preventing migraines, researchers generally advise skipping that midnight snack. People are more likely to make bad food choices late at night, which can contribute to weight gain. And studies show that nighttime snacks increase problems with blood sugar regulation, inflammation, cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and cognitive ability. If you must have a snack at night, try cottage cheese. A 2018 study published in the British Journal of Nutrition found that eating 30 grams of it 30 to 60 minutes before bedtime can fill you up without making you gain weight. It can also have a favorable effect on metabolism and improve muscle quality and overall health. There are different ways to go about this whole snacking thing. The one constant is to choose a healthy, filling option in an appropriate portion size. Do that, and the benefits don't stop at weight loss and improved health. Your general approach to life might be affected. When you stack mindfully, says Dr. Not Carney, it's easier to take a deep breath, focus on exactly what you're eating at that moment, and enjoy the day around you, too. The next article in the Reader's Digest is from the section called Life Well Lived, Saving Grandpa's Home. The old farmhouse was abandoned and falling apart, but tearing it down would be like raising the author's past, by Jerry Nelson from the book Dear County Agent Guy. In 1963, at age 65, my grandfather, Irwin, decided to tackle a crazy project. He wanted to build a new house. He wasn't quite sure what to do with the old house. It seemed a waste to demolish it, but something had to give, since it sat where the new house would be. In a moment of inspired frugality, he hired a bulldozer to push the old house far out into a grove of trees. That old house sits there to this very day. Irwin and his wife, Alita, passed away, and I purchased the farm from their estate. My wife and I raised our sons on this place and have lived here for more than 30 years. When we first moved in, my wife took one look at the derelict house and declared it a hazard. I agreed and planned on a colossal bonfire, but I deemed it prudent to check out the old shack first, just in case something of value had been left behind. Our two young sons tagged along as we waded through the tall grass in the meadow where the old house sat. Time had taken its toll. The front porch had collapsed in on itself. Most of the windows were gone, and the siding was falling off. We entered through an open window and got the olfactory impression that skunks had resided beneath the floorboards. I felt as though I had stumbled onto a time capsule. Here lay the sundry detritus of my grandparents' lives. A broken chair, some old clothes in a gunny sack, a thermometer from a grain elevator. But the thing that drew my eye was a cardboard box stuffed with papers. I dug through its contents and was instantly transported back in time. There was a tax return from 1957, canceled checks from June 1962, greeting cards from old friends and relatives now all dead and gone, and Uncle's third-grade spelling book. I spent most of a pleasant hour going through that box. All of the while, I had to answer a stream of questions from my sons about the old house. They were amazed that 9 people once occupied the tiny structure and that they did so without running water or electricity. I related how on cold winter mornings a pail of water would be iced even though it is sat right next to the cook stove, and they shivered when I told them that in those days the cook stove was their only source of heat. So it was that the old house was spared the torch. The years passed and our visits grew infrequent. The house once again enjoyed the lonely solitude of our meadow. As we hurried through our lives, I might catch a glimpse of it through the trees and wonder, how did they manage? How did they survive the dust storms and the floods and the blizzards and the Great Depression? They must have been made of sterner stuff than I was. I remembered how as a child I would struggle to walk in my father's footprints, even though I could imagine no nobler calling than farming, but just like Dad. Then one April morning, my father was felled by a massive heart attack at age 68. The entire family was shocked by his passing, none more than me. Why I ventured out to that old house on a day shortly after my father's funeral is still beyond me. It was as though it were calling. Even the trees seemed to whisper, an invitation to come, to visit, to tarry a while. As I stood once again on that ancient linoleum, my eye was drawn to a jumble of papers on the floor. An envelope yellowed with age lay on top. A blue stamp on the envelope read, "Passed by Naval Censor." How could I have missed this artifact? My father had served aboard the USS Washington during World War II and had written home whenever he could. My grandmother saved all of his letters. I removed one letter carefully from its envelope. It was dated September 1944. My father would have been somewhere in the South Pacific at that time and all of 18 years old. I studied the familiar scrawl. Dad wondered how the oat harvest had been and how his uncle's new team of horses was working out. He supposed that his youngest brother was starting first grade and imagined that he was becoming quite the little man. He asked his mother to greet everyone and said that he missed them all. It wasn't hard to read between the lines. Here was a homesick young man, a kid really, who had spent his entire life dwelling upon a sea of prairie grass. Now he was on a different kind of sea, an ocean that was being rolled by the thunder and the lightning of a world at war. At the bottom of the page, in underlined print, my father had passed on one last message. Tears burned my eyes as I read those words he had so carefully emphasized. "All is well here. Please don't worry. I am doing fine." As I left the old house that day, I took one last glance back at it over my shoulder. "I don't care what anyone thinks," I decided. "That old house gets to stay there until it rots into the earth." The next article in the Reader's Digest is from the section called We Found a Fix, 9 Tricks to Improve Your Life. 1. Use bread tags to label power cords. Organizing. Not sure which cord plugged into your power strip goes with which electronic device? Label cords with plastic bread tabs. They're sturdy, have enough room to write on, and can be clipped near the plug ends of the cords. Using tags in a variety of colors will also help you easily identify which one to pull when needed. 2. Clean paint with hand sanitizer. Cleaning. Did you make a mess while doing some painting around the house? Here's a handy fix. Hand sanitizer. Its high alcohol content makes it a great solvent for latex paint. For your information, it can help you get a campfire started too. Just dab a small amount on your kindling and light that spot. 3. Remove a stinger. Health. You may have been told to use your fingers or tweezers to remove a bee or wasp stinger, but that can send more of the venom into your wound. A better bet is to scrape out the stinger with a credit card, says Mary Jane Piratek, MD, a pediatric emergency medicine specialist at California's Children's Hospital of Orange County. Out in the woods with no wallet, scrape using a clean fingernail. Then, when you can, wash the area with soap and water and apply an ice pack to minimize swelling. 4. Keep blended greens green. Food. Green drinks have many health benefits, but beware when putting those fiber-rich leafy greens in the blender. The motor can easily turn your dish brown. To keep colors vibrant, sprinkle your greens with lime or lemon juice before adding them to the mix, says the Research Chefs Association. Blanching also prevents browning. 5. Get a traffic preview. Travel. Not sure how much time you should give yourself to get to a big meeting or other event? Type your destination into Google Maps and choose directions. Use the desktop version for this one. Click the menu icon on the top left and choose traffic. At the bottom of the map, you'll see the option to view live traffic or typical traffic. Choose typical traffic and enter the day and time you plan to leave. You'll be able to see where trouble is likely to occur based on historical travel patterns. 6. Use cold water in the disposal. Home. Garbage disposals aren't as tough as you might think. The hot water in your sink can reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit, which can melt food and turn it into a thick paste that will clog the disposal. When rinsing the food off your plates and running the disposal, always use cold water. Then when it's time to wash your dishes, switch the water to hot. 7. Let your dog brush his own teeth. pets. Get a dog that won't tolerate his teeth being brushed. Give him a toothbrush chew toy. Made of natural rubber, it has a reservoir to hold a flavored pet toothpaste, which, together with the bristles on the outside, will clean your pup's teeth while he plays. 8. Recycle plastic bags. Recycling. Plastic bags aren't accepted in most communities' curbside recycling bins, but they can still be recycled. Most national retailers, including Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, JCPenney, Kohl's, Home Depot, and Lowe's, offer bag collection bins on site. In addition to plastic grocery bags, other flexible plastics such as bread bags, newspaper bags, and Ziploc bags can be recycled this way. If you aren't sure whether a particular item qualifies, visit howtorecycle.info. 9. Remove car dents. Auto. Before you fork over big bucks to have a body shop pull a small dent out of your car, suggest lifehacker.com. Place a plumber's plunger over the dent and pull it out gently. You may want to wet the plunger first to help it stick. The next article is from the section called I Am the Food on Your Plate. Milk, Everyone's First Drink by Kate Lowenstein and Daniel Gritzer. If you are a mammal, and I assume you are, hello? We are already well acquainted, aren't we? I was, after all, your first food. I am the sweet secretion that flows from the mammary glands of a mammalian mom, the perfect nutrition for a baby human, cow, dog, what have you. I'm what allows an infant creature to exit its mother's body and still continue to get everything it needs from her to grow into a larger, intelligent, in your case, being tremendously jam-packed as I am with protein, fat, and delicious sugars. The big twist with you humans, of course, is that you figured out how to continue your habit of drinking me well beyond your infancy and into adulthood. And rather than collect human milk and bottle it up, you choose a more efficient lactating creature to supply you, the cow. This was an utter stroke of genius, but by domesticating a milk-supplying animal, actually over history, a bunch of them, including sheep, goats, buffalo, camels, and yaks, you found a way to take advantage of otherwise nutritionally useless grasslands and pastures. Ruminants such as cows, sheep, and goats are equipped with multiple stomachs and the somewhat impolite habit of regurgitating and rechewing the contents of those stomachs until they're squeezed out every last nourishing molecule. With this unrivaled digestive determination, these beasts manage to turn scraggly weeds into copious amounts of rich and creamy meat and more. A milk-producing cow makes an average 6 or 7 gallons of meat a day. That's a start, but over the years, that same cow will produce several more cows' worth of valuable side products from meat. Cream, for instance, it rises to my top, as you'll know from that handy aphorism. And then butter, one of the kitchen's greatest daily indulgences, just cream churned into solid fat. For a while, humans were afraid of my non-skimmed versions, full as they are of saturated fat. But studies conducted since the height of fat phobia in the 1990s have suggested that full-fat dairy can be satisfying and decently healthy. Skim milk and low-fat cheese, while lower in calories, just aren't as satiating. The gallon you have of me in your fridge, assuming it's cow's milk, probably came from an industrial farm where the cows are often fed grain and corn. Here's a tip. When you spend a little extra to get a carton marked from grass-fed cows who are out munching their way through pastures, I taste different. Some might say better. Further, my flavor will change with the seasons as the makeup of the grass changes. You might buy the same cheese all year long, but it's from pasteurized cows. Its taste and texture will also evolve as spring turns into summer and so on. Spoiler alert, figuring out ways to make me last has always been of utmost importance. And boy, have you learned to let microorganisms such as lactobacillus munch on my abundant lactose sugars. This produces lactic acid and seizes me up into clots since I'm heated. Welcome to the sour cream on your baked potato and your tangy morning yogurt. About 5,000 years ago, a wandering group of you noticed another way I go from perishable liquid to a more long-lasting solid. Shepherds transporting me from field to home would open the bags in which they carried their milk and discover me curdling. There was something about those bags made from the stomachs of sheep and goats at work. The stomachs contained an enzyme called rennet, which helps young animals digest their mother's milk. Thus began the epic food tradition of making cheese. To this day, rennet from calf stomachs is still used to make many cheeses, including Parmesan, Gruyere, and Manchego, which means that your vegetarian friends would do well to check before eating them. Time-tested as I am, Americans have been drinking less and less cow's milk since the 70s. Over the past 5 years, the market shrank by more than $1 billion, while sales of soy, almond, and other non-dairy milks grew. This was apparently threatening enough that the National Milk Producers Federation started taking issue with the use of my name, milk, to describe anything plant-based. I'm not totally sure what the fuss is about, though, since I'm fairly certain no one is confused about whether an almond has nipples. Speaking of nipples, platypuses, those furry duck-billed mammals, don't have them, so they secrete milk through their skin, where it gathers and creases and folds like sweat for their young to lap up. Scientists think that mammary glands are just adapted sweat or sebaceous glands, and that platypus moms operate the way ancient milk-producing proto-mammals might have. Almonds and platypuses aside, the cattle should perhaps worry. As cow's milk sales continue to decline, America has increasingly shown interest in the ruminant that dominates the rest of the milk-drinking world, the goat. Excellent as fresh cheese, a bit gentler than cow's milk, on a lactose-sensitive stomach, and then often a main ingredient in the recently popular drinkable yogurt, kefir, goat milk is trendy. In other words, what's centuries old is new again. The authors of this article, Kay Lowenstein, is the health editor currently at Vice, and Daniel Gritzer is the culinary director of the cooking site Serious Eats. The next article in the Reader's Digest is from the section called News from the World of Medicine. Brain scans reveal who can stick to diets. In a recent experiment, 123 healthy men and women underwent MRI scans of their brains while they looked at images of food items and related how tasty and healthy they were. They were also asked to name a healthy food. The participants with more gray matter in two brain regions, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, were more likely to make healthy choices. Luckily, you can increase the volume of your gray matter. It happens when you push yourself to learn new things, such as words in a foreign language. Vaccines may have extra benefits. Measles, polio, tuberculosis, typhoid fever. Thanks to vaccines, these diseases have been mostly eradicated in industrialized nations, and it turns out that these live vaccines may protect against diseases beyond the ones that were developed to prevent. For instance, a recent study showed that a typhoid vaccine also appeared to protect against influenza, yeast infections, and tetanus. Earlier studies have demonstrated that children who received the measles vaccine are less likely to die from pneumonia and diarrhea, as well as from measles. Similarly, when the live polio vaccine and the Bacillus Calmette-Guerin BCG vaccine for tuberculosis are introduced in developing countries, deaths from all causes go down. Researchers theorize that live vaccines work to strengthen the overall immune system. Alcohol effects persist. Having alcohol in your system hampers your ability to think straight even after it has left your bloodstream. According to a review of 19 studies, the authors from the University of Bath in England collected evidence that concentration, reaction time, memory, and driving ability are all poor the day after a heavy drinking session. Hangovers involve fatigue and changes to levels of hormones and cytokines, molecules that help regulate immune responses, either of which might explain these effects. Antibiotics can replace appendicitis surgery. Most times, a case of appendicitis means an emergency operation, but a new study has found that treatment with antibiotics can help delay the need for surgery for years, and perhaps permanently. A Finnish trial tracked 257 people with uncomplicated appendicitis who tried 10 days of antibiotics before taking further steps. Over the following 5 years, 100 of them wound up getting their appendixes removed, and none of them were hurt by delaying the operation. Benefits and risks of diet soda. Science has documented that soda can pack on the pounds, hurt your heart, and even increase your risk of some types of cancer. But debate continues about diet soda. The American Heart Association issued an advisory last year saying that short-term use of low-calorie, artificially sweetened drinks to replace sugary ones may be an effective strategy to promote weight loss in adults. One recent study even found that diet beverages might save lives. A survey of 1,018 patients with stage 3 colon cancer showed that those who consumed at least one 12-ounce serving of a low-calorie drink daily were nearly 50% less likely to see their cancer recur or to die during the 7.3-year follow-up period compared with those who mostly abstained from diet drinks. The researchers also found that the more diet sodas people drank, the better their chances of survival. On the other hand, a new study of more than 80,000 postmenopausal women found that those who consumed two or more artificially sweetened beverages each day were 30% more likely to have a clot-based or ischemic stroke, 29% more likely to have heart disease, and 16% more likely to die from any cause that women who drank diet beverages less than once a week or not at all. The right amount of exercise for mental health. According to a study of 1.2 million Americans, people who exercised enjoyed better mental health than those who didn't. But there was a limit. Individuals who worked out for 45 minutes per session felt better than those who favored longer workouts. Similarly, hitting the gym 3 to 5 times a week, not daily, correlated with optimal results. Antidepressants could help prevent Alzheimer's. Researchers have found that selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs in particular, Prozac and Paxil, slowed the buildup of beta-myeloid plaque on neurons, a hallmark of Alzheimer's. This is Roz Friedman signing off for the Reader's Digest. I will be back next week.